And good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is February 8th, 2025, and we'll be right back after the song.
Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Can't you see that flash of fire 10 times brighter than the day? And behold, a mighty city broken in the dust again. Oh God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Babylon is laid to waste, Egypt's buried in her shame. The mighty men are beaten down, the kings have fallen in the ways. Oh God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Terror is on every side, though the leaders are dismayed. Those who put their faith in fire the faith shall be repaid. Oh God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Shout a warning to the nations that the sword of God is raised on Babylon, that mighty city, rich in treasure, wide in fame. It shall cause thy tower to fall and make of thee a fire of flame. Oh God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. Oh thou that dwell on many waters, rich in treasure, wide in fame. Bow unto a God of gold, thy pride of might shall be thy shame. Oh God, the pride of man broken in the dust again. And only God can lead the people back into the earth again. Thy holy mountain be restored, thy mercy on thy people.
Good morning, and we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is February 8th, 2025, and we welcome you folks out there, and I'll bring the men on the line. And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And we just pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning, Father. We pray that we go in the direction that you'd have us to go. We ask for a leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And we pray, Father, that we can be a blessing to your people today. And we pray that this show may be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes, Lord. We pray that you just continue to waken your people up across this land as we hunger and thirst for truth and justice and righteousness to flow in the streets once again. Lord, we pray, Father, that this is a God-fearing Christian nation once again. We desire that, Father. We know that we got a long ways to go, but that's our desire, Father, and let us be found fighting for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Well, there is amen. Definitely a, not a lack of things to talk about. Posted up some articles here this week on the Newswire. Yeah, just going through them. China strikes back, imposes retaliation tariffs on U.S. goods as trade tensions escalate. FAA faces class action lawsuits over alleged racial discrimination in air traffic control hiring. All options on the table. Defense Secretary Hegseth signals potential military strikes against Mexican cartels. NATO seeks out Zelensky and Ukraine's waning war prospects, Russian intelligence claims. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and it definitely It's exciting times that we're living in, that's for sure. One of the things that I seen this week was how they were, you know, they had these out of, I can't remember, it was out of the 13,000 IRS agents that they had. They had over 5,000 of them specifically working, trying to target J6ers. And, you know, it's... it really, when you start looking at a lot of this stuff, it really puts things into perspective that this is war. And that's one of the things that we've been, you know, we've been using that term for quite some time here. And, you know, a lot of people really, you know, didn't agree with that. They said that, you know, the war hasn't started yet. The war hasn't started yet. Well, it's been going on, and it was, you know, you can say the spiritual warfare, it's spiritual, it was physical. You know, for IRS agents attacking people that were J6ers, it wasn't just a spiritual warfare that was taking place. It was physical and hands-on. And I'm just encouraged that so many of these things that we've talked about, and, you know, people would, you know, say, okay, conspiracy here, conspiracy there. These things are just being brought to light. And I really believe that, you know, it's the scripture that talks about those deeds that were done in darkness are being brought to light. And things are being exposed. And I'm encouraged by that.
Amen. I've been there, too. You know, you talk about the warfare that has been against you know, God's kingdom and God's people, and so often people are, they want to etherealize it like it's spiritual, and it's like, so you start going through these, you know, you just start checking them off, and you kind of can see the, you know, blinders come off sometimes. It's like one of the ones that I just seen the other day that I thought was one of those was the Planned Parenthood thing, in that I can't say her name right off the top of my head, but she started in about 8 years ago talking about them selling baby parts and doing nasty things and all this stuff that they were doing. And, of course, they sued her, you know, for defamation and for missing. She just won her case the other day. It's all been,
praise the Lord.
It's all been put away. It's all been done. And it's like, yeah, there's some light in a dark corner for you. And if you don't think... I bet you if you ask her if she was at war, if she felt like she was in a battle, if you ask her if she was in a war, I'll bet she'd say, yeah, you better believe it, you know, so, because they were trying to destroy her. So, you know, each one of those battles, each one of those things that go on, we see all this stuff going on. And the real question is, when we talk about miracles all the time, miracles happen around you every day. The real question is, are your eyes open enough? Are you responsive enough to recognize those miracles for what they are? And it's the same way with the warfare. Asymmetric warfare is a battle on a front that you are not familiar with. Doesn't mean that somebody's coming after you with a knife or a gun or a club necessarily, but it still means that they're trying to destroy your way of life and your belief system and, you know, those things. So it's an ongoing, and the scale of it, once you really start digging into it, is massive, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't stop. We're seeing just so much of that in so many different ways. And it's what I've noticed is it's kind of funny because there's these major news networks, and I mean even Associated Press, ABC, NBC stuff, they are just they don't have a whole lot to say right now.
Yeah, they're pretty quiet, aren't they? Well, they just came out with that USAID. What was it? I don't even know what it stands for, but USAID or USAID, however they say it. This debacle. I mean, it's the tip of the iceberg right now, but. You know, $8 million to one of these news agencies to post good things about the left and the libs, and millions and millions of dollars that have been distributed from the Fed to these organizations in order to make good words and to, you know, put down and do all that. It's there's a lot of light being shown into the corners of things. And you know, good or bad, however you, you know, whatever your situation is with Trump and with the left-right paradigm, the fact of the matter is God brings good things out of everything. I mean, it's like he says all things work together for good, and they are, and they will, and they do. And, you know, when you let that cat out of the bag, it's really tough to get it back in there. I mean, it's just not going to. It's just not going to go willingly.
Well, and what I've seen too is, and it's been exciting for me, and it doesn't have any, well, it doesn't have, so to speak, a lot to do with what we've seen as far as political changes, but I've seen people that are waking up on, and taking control of their health and, just have, their lives have just been completely turned around. As far as so many different things. One gentleman that that I talk to on a pretty regular basis, he's he lives up in Laramie, and he's into law enforcement. And we've been talking for several years now. And 2 years ago, when I was talking to him, I mean, he was looking at me like I was crazy, like I had horns on my head, and was just, you know, from a different planet when I started talking to him about some estrogens and plastics and phytoestrogens and, you know, how horrible the hormones in, you know, cattle were. And, you know, and talking to him, and he was thinking, he was telling me that, oh, you got to use these implants in the cattle, that's the only way that you can make money, and you got to have your vaccination program put together, and this and that, and we talked and talked and talked about it, and I was telling him, you know, just about stuff and about taking care of your health and things that you should stay away from, and anyway, but planted seeds, and I talked to him just the other day, and he got on the phone, and he was driving down the road, and he talked to me for over an hour telling me about how his life had just completely changed. He had gotten rid of all the plastic utensils that they were cooking in and using the microwave in and weren't using the microwave, and he was reading labels, and he was looking at preservatives and staying away from dyes and staying away from all the soy products, and just how many changes he had made in his life, and was just thankful that the seeds had been planted and just turned his life completely around. And, you know, that's encouraging when you see people that are doing that. Another good friend of mine, my electrician, I call him Sparky, but he comes over, and he's been a good friend for 17, 18 years now. And he was one of these people, I tried to talk to him about health stuff. He was, you know, he liked to drink his Diet Coke, and he just, you know, you talk to him about stuff that he just kind of laugh at you and just would go on. And he is completely making a turnaround as far as his lifestyle and his way of eating and his way of thinking. And it's really interesting is how when somebody starts eating right and feeling good, and how they just start thinking differently. And that's one of the things that, you know, I've noticed is people, when they get some of this stuff out of their life and they start realizing that, hey, we need to take care of our bodies, they feel better, but they think better also. And they start looking at things a lot differently. And I'm seeing that in just in so many different areas. People that, you know, are, you know, used to be, you know, you try to tell people to, you know, stay away from the seed oils, or that some of this stuff's bad for you. They just like, oh, no, that, you know, it was a one-liner. No, that's the healthy stuff for you. That's the health, you know, that's what's healthy and blah, 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 blah. And now they're actually, it's becoming, you know, mainstream, common knowledge, some of the stuff that we've been talking about for, you know, 30 years. It's kind of like cooking. And I'm, you know, sometimes it's kind of disappointing. It's like, you know, we don't seem quite so crazy anymore. I'm not sure how to handle that.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, you know, food has been used as a weapon since the Garden of Eden, if you think about it. I mean, it's not a
good
new
point.
It's, I mean, you know, that was the original, one of the original weapons of of the downfall of our people was food. So should it shock us that it continues on to this very day? But yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's interesting that they're trying going on to the food thing. You know, there this whole chicken thing and the bird flu thing and egg prices, and now of course according to some of them, you know, we've now got a second version of bird flu that has spilled over into cows. Imagine that, you know. I mean, it's like the whole thing they don't go after the geese, they don't go after the ducks, they don't go after the pigeons or the sparrows or, you know, but boy, them chickens, we got to, and they've killed flocks and flocks of chickens without even any indication, just on someone's say so. I mean, they got no lab results, they have nothing saying that they're actually infected. It's just like, well, you know, those 10,000 birds, they just got to die. And when you begin to understand the correlation between eggs and these COVID problems that are going on, you also understand why they want to come out and get rid of our chickens, you know. And chickens also have an economic aspect of that. Practically anybody can raise them in their backyard or in the corner of their yard, or you can have a few chickens, you know, and they'll turn all kinds of things that are unusable in other ways into eggs and meat, feathers. You know, it's just kind of a little microcosm of the worldwide issues, you know. I mean, it's like, well, we don't want that. We want people to have these. We want them to be dependent upon the machine, upon the corporate machine that is going to do that. And so I think that we're seeing some changes in regards to that too. But it's just, I wondered how long it would be. They were talking about the bird flu jumping to humans, but I was wondering how long it'd be before it jumped to the cows. So here it comes. If it can go to dairy cows, by the way, it won't be, you know, next thing will be the beef herds, you know. Oh, wow. So it's, actually, if you think about it, it's almost comical. I mean, it's not funny if you're one of the people whose birds have been killed or anything, but it's just I don't know, it's pretty ignorant when you think about it, at least to me. So,
well, I was talking with
Tim, I like how you,
people about the chickens like and the chicks, them. And they said that I talked to them at we got a Tractor Supply, which is, you know, box store. I call it China Supply, and I really don't like spending money there. But where we're at, sometimes it's your only option. And they were saying that they don't even know if they're going to be able to get chicks in. And if they do, it might be towards the fall before they can get any. And talked to another feed store, and they were saying the same thing, that they just didn't know if they were going to be able to get any. They had orders on them. They were supposed to be getting chicks in, and they're just saying that they're not going to be getting them in. And so it was. There was one feed store, a local feed store here in town. They were on a list, and they called, and they said, "Hey, we got chicks in." So that was good. Was able to tell a couple people about that. But what was neat is that people. I've talked to several people, and they started incubating their own eggs, and they're hatching them too. So I mean, people are realizing that, hey, that's not that hard to do, and they're trying to do that as well. But we've got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I was going to make a comment on the flu you got out there. You know, with the bird flu and the caller's getting that bird flu, I believe it's because of what the caller's are eating. You know, up here in Wisconsin, they feed the chickens their own waste. And we have a whole bunch of deer dying from what they call chronic waste disease. And that's from what they feed them. The cows aren't supposed to eat protein. So if they put ground up, you know, bones in like they do, you know, put it in your coffee, that's going to make them get mad cow disease. And we got a, or Jill and I got a new bread maker, and I found out that gluten is the same thing as protein. And see all the stuff that says gluten-free? That means they took all the protein out of that food. So I want to just make a comment on that.
Well, I appreciate that, Warren. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Have a good day. Well, it's that simple. 970-224-4203. It's 970-224-4203. If you'd like to call in, make a comment, we'd like to hear from you.
I think one of the common denominators for all this is, like you had said, Tim, it has to deal with the food supply, with and that dependence on the corporation, dependence on the machine, dependence on the government for food. And that is all about control. And, you know, we carry the book, Execution by Hunger. It was one of Pastor's favorite books because it showed how the machine, how the corporation, how the government starved out and all but killed all, you know, almost all of the Ukrainian farmers back in the late 20s and early 30s. And when you read through it, that book was written by an eyewitness, a young boy that lived through it, and you see that's what they did. They came in and they took the food away. And then if you tried to grow your own food, if you tried to have some chickens and eggs or something like that, they would come in and take it. And they were very successful in decimating that prosperous middle class Ukrainian farmer. And it worked then, just like you said, it's worked all the way back to the garden. And it worked then to control the food. And don't think that that's not in the plan today. Yeah, why? Isn't it interesting that, like you said, it's just the chickens. The ducks are not a problem. The geese are not a problem. You know, we're seeing flocks and flocks, hundreds, sometimes thousands of these geese and stuff on fields. And, well, nope, no problem there. It's the chickens that, like you said, Tim, you can raise in your backyard, that you can feed scraps to and let them work through your compost and all types of things to have some food. And that's what the enemy can't stand. They can't stand that independence, and that's what they war against. But like you said, Jason, people are waking up to it. They're seeing, hey, wait a minute, I'm not going to even rely on them for chicks. We're going to raise our own. And I think your daughter's even done that. You guys have even done that. And that's just the way it ought to be, but the way it has to be now.
According to Joel Thadlin, that bird flu, apparently Virginia raises lots and lots of poultry, and they had a contract with Russia. Anyway, they lost it, so they had all these chickens. What they could do, they created the bird flu to get government subsidy to get rid of those chickens. Is what amounts. That bird flu don't amount to anything more than when you have the flu, you come out of it. It was all a thing to get government money, is what he said, and I tend to agree with him.
That sounds about right, don't it? Yeah, I kind of think that all these lithium battery car fires are kind of a scam to get out of the electric car business, because you know it's pretty much a dead horse, so to speak. And you know, you see all this stuff going on, and you kind of wonder, how are we going to come out of that monetarily? It's a good thing we have insurance. I don't know. It makes the guy scratch his head.
Well, our whole dependence on insurance and government is an idolatry, and I think that's becoming more and more obvious. You know, what's his name? It's about something about insurance. There's a hook with that insurance, and what it does, it gets rid of your responsibility for a payment, and they stand in the gap and get all these payments, and they are just lots and lots of money. But see, these natural catastrophes are really tapping into what they do. And this whole thing is going down. You know, we're going to have to raise our own chicks, get back into raise our own food, you know. And I came out of an era, you know, my mother had a garden, and she went to the store for, you know, salt and flour, you know, just the basics. The food was all raised right here. So it's all doable. It's just a matter of who wants to live.
Amen. I got a note in here that came in from Derek, and this is really good. It says, it was a quote from that I think Donald Trump tweeted. It says, today I have implemented a 25% tariff on imports from Mexico and Canada, 10% on Canadian energy, and 10% additional tariff on China. This was done through the International Emergency Economic Power Act, IEEPA. Because of the major threat of illegal aliens and deadly drugs killing our citizens, including fentanyl, we need to protect Americans, and it is my duty as president to ensure the safety of all. I made a promise on my campaign to stop the flood of illegal aliens and drugs from pouring across our borders, and Americans overwhelmingly voted in favor of it. And then it goes into... quote, let's look at what God has to say about the enemy. The communist invasion army prophesied in Ezekiel has already begun. God speaks to the enemy, Ezekiel 38. Starting with verse 9, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, and thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. 15 says, and thou shalt come from the place out of the north parts, thou and many peoples with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. The word cloud, a Hebrew word used in relation to mind-clouding incense, today called drugs, dope, fentanyl, in America comes through communist sources. It's obvious that it does covers the land. Dope is everywhere in our land. The real issue to note is Russia controls China, and both are enemies of the Anglo-Saxon nations. Gog, Russia, and Magog, Mongolian Asian peoples, are the enemies of the Anglo-Saxon. They are here in our land now making war against us. We, the Anglo-Saxons, are to set our face against Gog and Magog. God says so, Ezekiel 38. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Mesha and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I thought that was pretty good.
Sounds accurate.
Ezekiel, it's interesting. We just read that yesterday, literally. Again, we were talking about some stuff, but it's an amazing chapter. I mean, and I think it's interesting how God unlocks things for us at times when we need to understand them. You know, I mean, I think that's just, it leaves me in awe. Because, you know, you've read it, if you read your Bible a lot, I've read that many times over the years, but suddenly there's things in there that I just didn't see before.
It's kind of interesting. It sure does remind you, when it happened, that it is the living word. And isn't it interesting how you can read something several times over and over and over, and then all of a sudden it can have a different meaning, or you can relate to it, and it makes you think of that scripture, and it's like, okay, yeah, this has a completely different meaning to me than it used to.
Way true.
Well, it becomes relevant, you know, and all of a sudden it fits. It's like a puzzle.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and what they're facing up in Canada too is, you know, no licenses, no wrong plates, no insurance. And they got these aliens that are driving the trucks all over the places, hitting people, crashing. You know, and these are the people that don't stick around when they have an accident. Um, Yeah, this is just definitely, looking at some of these pictures, it's just got to stop, But, I mean, the encouraging thing is, like we talked about, people are waking up to it. I mean, and you know, I guess it takes those tough times for, you know, a lot of people to wake up. And if that's what it takes, then, you can't say that it was, that it was bad things that actually happened. I mean, when people wake up, it's, that's encouraging. And like our pastor taught, it was, when he said, nothing bad ever happened to me. And he truly believed that. And it's like, do we want to say that, anything bad has ever happened to us? Because look at where we are and look what we learned through it and from it.
Absolutely. I mean, adversity always brings admonishment. I mean, and admonishment brings, admission to your life. You have to, God says every knee will bow, and it's, the real question is, will it bow by choice or will it bow by, by force? But every knee will bow, doesn't matter. And you can either take your licks and learn your lessons and, I still got some to learn, but, the point is we all either will come through it or be washed away by it. I mean, completely, but God has, and we're seeing that go on. And, for those of us who come through it and admit that Jesus is King and the King of our lives and that God rules the universe, it's a wonderful, uplifting feeling to understand that these things, have to come to pass. And, to realize that he's trying to, save his people, his remnant out of that mess. And one of the other things that was said yesterday that when we were visiting that I thought was really interesting was the fact that, I don't think his remnant's five people. I mean, I don't really know how big it is, but it's a lot bigger than we think it is. But it's still a remnant, So, but it's they're there. They're still, and they're. They're moving according to God's plan.
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
And like you were talking about, like Joe Salatin and stuff, what he was saying about that, he was one of those guys that, got a lot of good information. And it's kind of funny because a couple of the books, we carry a couple books by him, and, the one is, everything that I wanted to do was illegal, or everything I want to do is illegal. The other one that I really like is Homestead Tsunami, and both fantastic books. But we've been carrying those for a couple years now, and I've had people that have contacted me and be like, hey, isn't this that guy that you were talking about, that you were telling me about this book? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, we've seen him on TV and he was talking and this guy's really good. I'm like, yeah, well, that's the reason that I was trying to get you to, read the book. And it's been kind of funny because I've had a lot of people that have called, hey, you still got that book by that guy? It's like, that guy's, I've been watching the videos and that guy's really good. I don't know. It's exciting. Paul, I think when I got that Homestead Tsunami book, I think you were one of the first people that I sent a copy to. And wasn't that book just a really good book?
Yeah, read great. I read it cover to cover.
Well, it's such a breath of fresh air to get some of that, It's like, I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Well, Babylon's fallen is what's going on. He told us and warned us in Revelation 18. It's coming. Nothing will ever be the same. Pastor Peter said before 9/11 in May, he says, something's going to happen in September and nothing will be the same. And he was accurate. So nothing's going to be the same. We're going to go back to raising our own chickens. That'll be a good thing, don't you think?
I think so, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the things that always amazes me is, there's a lot of this stuff where you see how they, I was talking with my son-in-law the other day, and he goes, well, you know, the Bible's just like, it's really all just contracts and stuff like that, you know. And I said, well, it's more than that, but you're not wrong. It's an agreement, you know. It was a covenant, which is a contract. And we see these people out there, they try to go outside and around God, just like the children of Israel, some of them did when they were in bondage. Instead of going through God to get out of bondage, they tried to go out and around it, you know. And it was like, well, we'll just leave. And he's like, no, you're not leaving. You know, this is, until this is done, this is how it's going to be. And we see these people out there, and, you know, examples are, seen one the other day I thought was interesting. They were talking about the sole and the sole of your foot on your birth certificate and you being surety and all these. Yeah, that stuff's probably the way that works to some degree. I don't know that it's all 100% accurate or not. I haven't really. But the point I'm trying to make is then they want to go into a regular court or something and get relief and say, well, you don't have anything, you know, you don't have anything to do with me, but could you let me go? You know, could you? It's like, and you got to go through God. I mean, God's where it's at. And if you're going to try and it's just, you know, do you see what I'm saying about the opposing thought processes there? It's like, no, that's not the way that works. So, but there's people waking up daily.
Well, I've seen a lot of people that do that. They want to, you know, they want to be a sovereign citizen. They want to go back to God's law. They want to do this. They want to do that. But then they want to go to the court system to do it. And it's like, okay, you don't recognize that they have any authority or any power or any say or any jurisdiction, I guess would be probably the more accurate term. They don't have any jurisdiction in the matter, but you want to take it to their courts. And when you take it to their courts, you're recognizing their jurisdiction and say in the matter. And a lot of these people that are into that, and I'm not saying everybody, but I mean a lot of them that are into that sort of thing, they want to use that system that they are out of. You're going to be in one system or another. You're going to be in, you know, man's system. You're going to be God's system. They want to use it unbiblically. They say, well, we want to go back to God's law. But then there's something that some of them just don't understand. It's like, okay, what about maybe not stealing? Thou shalt not steal. It's part of the Ten Commandments. But they want to use that to try to steal somebody else's property.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, they use it as a cloak of maliciousness or as a cloak of, yeah, God doesn't really honor that. That's wrong. And it's, like you said, it's in the Ten Commandments. That's pretty basic. Hello. Yeah. So we see those kind of things going on all the time around us. And, you know, back to that, every knee will bow. And I think that and there's a lot of people that come through that, what do you want to say, wise up, that begin to understand, oh, yeah, it's God we need to seek our relief from, you know, and we need to pray and humble ourselves, and, you know, he'll forgive and renew us. But we don't, you know, there's a lot of, there's no shortcuts. And the other thing is, and I say this, I've said it frequently, but God's clock always runs to zero. I mean, it's going to count down to that hour, whatever it is. God knows where it's at, when it is, and all those things. But it's going to count down to there, and there's not any shortcut. There's not any... you know, you're in it to win it, and you're in it for the duration. So there are things we can do. We can pray, we can heal, we can, strengthen our minds and our bodies and our souls and all that. And we are, and we will overcome it through Jesus Christ. But the arm of flesh will fail us if that's what you're looking at. So not trying to stick anybody in the eye or anything like that with those comments, just trying to say there is a higher power and you need to apply to that.
I agree. And I think that we've been through this, a number of times, but it's getting rid of your driver's license ain't going to change it. Getting rid of, you know, your insurance card, not getting rid of, I still know people that, you know, got rid of the license plates on their vehicle and they've had, you know, maybe three or four vehicles seized and are in an impound, but they keep, you know, that's the way that they want to fight it. They want to say that they want to take the license plates off their vehicle and then tape a note saying, I don't need license plates, and quote something on the back of their vehicle. And, you know, that's it. And that's not the problem. That's not going to change anything. Not getting your children a birth certificate or a Social Security card isn't going to, things like that are just going to make things harder for them down the road. It's not going to solve the problem.
Yeah, I think they think that that's the, you know, being in the world but not of the world. And you know, we're here. Guess what? We're in the world, but we're of God's kingdom because we've been redeemed out of the darkness of the world, right, into His marvelous light. And you know, so then we're able to do what Jesus said: obey the you know, love God, love your neighbor, and the more you want to get into that, the more you should get into that, the deeper that gets. But it really is something as simple as that. You know, these Judeo-Christian churches, it's just not what they put out. You know, it's all just feel good. You know, that's like, anybody ever go, I don't do it a lot, but every now and then I'll go to Chick-fil-A. You know, I'll go to Chick-fil-A because the people are smiling. They're happy to see you. Good morning. Good afternoon. What can I do for you, sir? You know, this, that, they do have some rockin' sweet tea. Okay. I love the sweet tea, but you know, you go there and it's a feel good thing. It feels good to be there. It's like almost like a good spirit there. The people are smiling and stuff, but you know, the food is crap. The food has got more, you know, more, and the more you look into it, the worse it gets. The buns and the bread and the oils they fry, all of it. And they've got some salads and whatnot, but it's just the food is crap. But it's a feel-good place. Tell me the Judeo-Christian churches aren't like that. That they're that way. They've got the beautiful music and the feel-good message, and there's people there, and they're smiling, and they're shaking your hand, and they're happy to see you. And it's a social club. But you're not there. That's not the purpose. The purpose is truth. You know, we're in a mess in this land, in our society, in our finances, in our education system, in the world events, because we've turned from God. And, you know, the things that we see going on, I think, with the government, with the new leadership, it's not that they're perfect, but they're pointing out these problems. And saying, and everybody is shocked. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that we were, you know, we were paying for a transgender opera in Italy, blah, blah, you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. But it's because we've moved away and the churches aren't doing it. Like Paul always, you always bring that up, Paul, that the church has lost the truth first. And when they move away from the truth, look out. But it's going back to that. It is. You know, we've talked about Bible sales being up. People are going back to their Bible. They're reading it, and they're saying, wait a minute, this is not tying in with what I've heard at the Judeo-Christian church. This isn't tying in with what I've, heard from the government and those type things. And I think they're waking up to that. I think more people are waking up to the crap food at Chick-fil-A. Still like to go there. I don't need that sweet tea either, but it's sure good. And I think they're seeing that with the Judeo-Christian churches too, that it's like, this is crap. This does not sustain me. This is not giving me the life that I need. And so they're looking elsewhere. And that's where we need, I think that's where the remnant comes in. Yeah, there's more than five. That was mentioned earlier. You know, there's more than five. I know of 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. And we're His witnesses. That's what it says here in Isaiah. We are His witnesses to these people that don't have their eyes open, that are looking, that are waking up, that these truths are being exposed to, and they're finally saying, wow, And now here we come to be able to help them and point them in the right direction. I hope so. I sure hope so.
Well, like that interview with John Rich, he said in there, you know, the Bible says you're not going to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Now, that's going to draw a line in the sand, and you got to choose who you're going to serve. And he said, that's criminal, but they're not telling you. They're not telling you this ever. It's just everything's, they're leading you right straight into hell is what they're doing. You know, because they aren't telling the truth. You know, the truth is really hard to swallow sometimes, but it sure is good when you get her down.
I remember Pastor Peter's talking over and over, and one of the conversations that we had, and he kept bringing up the point, you know, these people, he's like, they may love their preacher now, but they're going to hate him on Judgment Day.
Yeah. Well, and what we're basically talking about, goes back to Romans 2. Let me read just a couple verses out of it. Romans 2, 18. And you knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, do you steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? And it goes down through those, you know, about dishonoring God in that way, which is what we're saying. It's like, you know, there's this thing there. It's like, be sure and examine your own self. That's what communion's about. Make sure that you're not doing those things that are putrid to God, you know, while you're trying to help other people see ways to grow or ways to make their lives better. And so I think that's a good summation of what we're talking about.
I think so. Well, I mean, it's just, you know, we're seeing exciting things and you know, people waking up exciting, people seeking truth. It's things that we, you know, that people used to kind of look over their shoulders when they talked about, even, you know, racial issues. That's what I was noticing just, a couple of days ago, you know, scrolling through some social media stuff, and it's like, wow, people are, proud to be white again. You know, that's encouraging. People aren't afraid to say some of this stuff, and they're proud to be white, and they're making fun of queers and trannies and all this kind of stuff. It's like, wow, this is you know, definitely a change. That's good.
And God called.
Did you see that news blurb? Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that God called his creation good. You know, I mean, he made it. It's not white privilege. It's a privilege to be white. It's not. It's a privilege to be whatever God made you to be. You know, that's be the best thing that God made you. You're not less. He created you, whatever you are. And you can serve him. You can glorify him. And you can, you know, be a beacon, be a light. I mean, it's like it's an opportunity. It's not a slur or a slander. So it shouldn't be anyways.
Well, you see things like the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, faces class action lawsuits over racial discrimination. But it's not that they were discriminating against black people. It's that they were discriminating against white people.
There's truth that's come out, you know. I mean, this helicopter and jet crash up in D.C. was horrific. And Rimmon, I hope you're praying for the families to be comforted. You know, they it was just another day to them, but their families, you know, are in turmoil and in sorrow. But what's come out of it? Just what you're saying, Jason, that, oh, wait a minute, you mean the FAA? That, well, we were short-staffed, you know, and we have been for years. And why? Well, because they've turned down 1,200 white applicants that were qualified and almost fully trained to be air traffic controllers in lieu of hiring, you know, whatever, minorities or those of different transgender mistake, whatever. And that's what they were pushing for. And they did not hire, and that's the number that's come out, 1,200. They said no to 1,200 white guys that were qualified. And as a result, they're short-staffed. And as a result, they have near miss after near miss after near miss after near miss, and finally this catastrophe. And then it comes to light. So it's good that it came to light. And, you know, that's what you get. That's what you get. Our pastor warned about it. He prophesied about it. And now that, you know, it's coming to light, that's what's happened. Hopefully a little more common sense is in the land today and in the leadership. And those things they are changing. They've changed almost overnight, and that's a good thing. Are they perfect? No, they're not. But
well, and it doesn't help that you had a lesbian helicopter pilot either.
Yeah. Well, you know, look at California fires. The California fires. The top three fire personnel staff were lesbian dyke whatevers.
Yeah, top four.
You know, and that couldn't spell fire. And so what, you know, and see, there again, there's that awakening, that common sense. What do you expect? You think it's just going to be all, you know, unicorn, you know what, and pixie dust? No.
Derek says, ha ha. He says, when the Saxon begin to hate, maybe it's here.
It's overdue.
Yeah, I agree. And I've thought that was a prophecy that was definitely going to happen. And I mean, you know, I think that it is. I think fires are being kindled. People are starting to, you know, put their tongues to the top of their mouth. They're starting to say no, and they're getting bolder and brazener. And you know, kind of reminds me of Pastor Peter's talking about Popeye. You know, tooting his pipe, saying, "I've can stands all that I can stands, and I can stands no more." So, and that is a moving of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that is, you know, Scripture says, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I believe that people are getting back to the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what we've been praying for a long time. And, you know, we've been praying and, you know, putting the song out, God Save America Again. We've definitely been in need of saving. And, you know, we've got a long way to go. But, you know, let's keep fighting the good fight of faith and, you know, rise up, daughter of Zion.
Amen.
You know, we'll be done with guns and stuff either. It'll be done by faith. And faith is powerful, way more powerful than might, you know. And God all wants, and that's all God wants, is people with faith to call on him, and then he'll fight our battles.
Yes. But there's a reason that he said, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one, too. So.
Well, absolutely. I understand that. But, you know, that's self-defense. But overall, when you go up against the Philistines, you want God with you.
Amen. I agree 100%.
Absolutely. Self-defense is basic.
And let's be honest, in this mess that is out there, it's huge. I honestly, you know, I always laugh when people say, well, this is the one. If you take care of this, the rest of it will go away. And it's like, I don't know about that. You know, and I'm not saying that that's wrong, that, well, this thing or that thing's wrong. But
we got a lot of problems, and we got a lot of fixing to do.
Yep. You start with getting on your knees, and God will steer you.
Well, we are just about out of time. Closing thoughts, gentlemen?
we need strength to endure to the end. You know, that's what we need, because the only way you're going to have that is if you have faith in that written in your heart. And a lot of stuff you don't know until you got to use it, you know. And we know who's in charge, and it's not them. And they're coming down, and they're fighting to stay in the thing. And God's hand is moving. And they've been had. It's just the way it is. They were beat at the cross.
Amen.
Be furnished to all good works. You know, that's what we're looking for.
Wilt texted in. He says, "My faith is in the Lord, gives me the wisdom and strength to use my gun when it's time." Praise the Lord. Let's close out with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And we just pray, Father, we pray for this land. We pray for our brothers and sisters up in Canada as we pray for this land here in the United States of America. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you continue to wake up your people, that you stimulate them, that you turn their hearts and their minds back to you, that we repent of our sins, known and unknown, as we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, and we ask for this land to be saved. Father, save from the hands of our enemies, those that seek to destroy it, those that seek to blot out your name and your people. We pray, let them be caught in their plots. So, Father, we ask that you target them, that you bring them down, that you deal with them perfectly as you see fit. We thank you for these things in Jesus Christ's name. We pray, amen. Thank you, men.
Amen.
God bless. Bye. And we are out of time.
Let me be a little kinder. Let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me praise a little more. Let me be when I'm weary, just a little bit more cheery. Think a little more of others and a little less of me. Temptation bids me waver.